Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here I am.
God, there he is.
Right, there I am. 1-2, 1-2. You were going 1-2, 1-2. It made it feel a bit like a police broadcast.
No, that's a roadie. 1-2, 2-2, 1-2, 2 before a gig. Not that I've ever.
As opposed to the Beatles.
1-2, 3-4. Morning, Giles.
Morning, Esther.
You haven't got anything, have you?
Not really, apart from a hangover. Not even a hangover, because that's so boring I go hangover. Not, it's just I didn't sleep, as you know. I was out playing cards.
Somebody was out playing poker.
And somebody was out in Kentish Town having a whale of a time well after their bedtime and causing me a lot of worry. There I was, and I speak, of course, of Mo Tenzing. I was out playing cards and it got to about 11 and everyone was just not leaving and I couldn't leave because I'd have felt all kind of awkward and weird and childish and kind of party poopy. And then I got a text saying, we've got your cat in Kent. And it was right down in Kentish Town.
You'd heard that the forum's reopening.
Yeah, he was right down by the forum.
And I said, what? On the
or Jason Donovan. Yeah. And it was like, it was two lovely girls who lived down by over the kebab shop. And I said, what? Literally that side of the road. He's crossed Highgate Road all the way down there. And they said that it was. And normally I'd have been asleep, but because I was...
Mo Tenzing has a type, doesn't he? It's always a very glamorous gay couple or hot girls.
I didn't say they were hot, did I?
You said they were lovely.
Well...
I can say that
they're lovely. I mean, they're lovely. They're just sort of young with glossy hair.
God,
and
they're amazing. They're sort of, what are you talking about? They're like supermodels.
What?
They're like supermodels.
They are. What are they called? I don't know what they're called. It's just, hey, just had your cat out at Highgate Road, and I thought, where's that? But anyway, there I was at the poker, and thinking I should probably. And everyone was going like all in, 100 quid, lovely, drink, whiskey, and then I just started to worry about my cat. And once I was texting at the table. They were, I was like, what about my cat? And I left early and went to get and so
it's
I.
It's extraordinary. They
and
invite
that was
you back.
That was midnight already, and I'd had. And I didn't even drink that much. I had like 3 margaritas and a couple of beers, and then
God, I would have been on the floor.
And then I went down and I got my Uber. I got my Uber to drop me off down by the forum. And I went looking for Mo, and then I got back up at 1, and then I was couldn't really see very well, knowing that Mo wasn't here.
Right.
So I sort of tossed and turned. At about 5 o'clock, I woke up. I could sound it wrong. When I came down. There was Mo on the sofa. Looks up. Yeah, what?
Yeah.
He looks at me, so I went back to bed. So I've had about an hour's sleep. So I haven't got anything to write a column about or a podcast or anything.
Well, thank God for me then.
So what should I write a column about then?
Okay.
Not his wedding. So they've said there's going to be a wedding.
Yeah,
do you want to give wedding advice to Boris and Carrie? Apart from, don't do it.
Wedding advice to Boris and Carrie.
Is that something that appeared in the sections of the paper, the ladies' sections that you read? Have they done that?
No, like, they haven't actually. They did that. And if they were going to do it, I'm sure they would have asked me to write it. They've done a whole like, kind of, you know, what kind of woke things that Carrie's going to wear. And
before we get, what do you think? Do you think there's a Boris and Carrie wedding?
But what would you... You would just make jokes about our wedding, presumably.
Probably.
Which would you organise, by the way?
Not a Boris column. Not a.
I don't think it's one for you. Okay, so now an idea I had for you is called My New BBC. Now, Priti Patel at the beginning of the week said that the reputation of the BBC is now in tatters following the Martin Bashir Diana interview fake document scandal. And she said that it is due very significant reform. And I wondered...
Priti Patel, by the way,
yeah,
never listened to the BBC, never listened to Radio 4. She's like, she just like listens to LBC, doesn't she?
Does she?
Priti Patel.
Well, she's she's quite LBC.
Just phone-in. That's outrageous!
Yeah.
She just listens to, what's his name in the morning? Nick Ferrari.
Nick Ferrari.
That's the sort of things you listen to. And then when James O'Brien comes on, she turned that off.
Okay.
She's pro-death penalty, is okay, what Priti Patel is. I'm just saying, she's not one of those classic you and yours listeners. And real consumer of kind of costume dramas and excellent. But so, anyway, yes.
So what would Pretty TV look like? PBC.
PBC?
Yeah, PBC. And you could have a vision of the BBC from different people's perspective, one of them being Priti Patel, one of them being Boris Johnson.
What did she say you said? What did you say she said?
She said the BBC's reputation is now in tatters and it is due very significant reform. So the BBC, auntie, and the... Every government's got it in for the BBC.
Why? This is a real gimme for them. They love the fact the royal family have said these things because they can really...
That's right.
...slash them. Yes, is it funny shows? Is it a schedule?
It's either a schedule or it's a kind of proposal for a new BBC from
again, we come into the clash of the problem where neither of us really watches any scheduled TV. So I don't really know what the BBC looks like now. Okay. I know that Newsnight, because our friend Katie is a presenter on it, I know that Newsnight's moving back to its old slot at 10:30.
Oh, is it? Some people will actually watch it because not everyone's asleep.
Is the sort of thing. So Priti would probably move it to 4 in the morning because she wouldn't want anyone to be able to hear. And then what are the things, bearing in mind that she is a Brexiteer thicko, that's the profile for Priti Patel, it shows what it's like. It's through the keyhole. There are more than 7 of them. Put them in prison.
Yeah.
Or whatever you say. It's like, is there a holiday show apart from mine? Amazing Hotels. Mm. If Wish You Were Here, it's like Go Back Where You Came From. Yeah. Is the thing. the new travel show.
Yeah. You can steal shows from other channels. You know, The Bill, which is an ITV
The Bill.
Show.
More.
So put The Bill. More coppers.
More coppers.
The thin blue line. Thick blue line.
But they claim the Tories claim to put more coppers out, don't they? They say we're going to put 20,000 more coppers on the beat, but they took 20,000 off last year, so they're just putting back the
ones. Yeah, and all they do is just pull me over and tell me that I'm not using my headlights properly. It's a new car, I don't understand it.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, it was quite embarrassing. Toyota Aygo. They said, you've only got your side lights on. I went,
when was that?
Did I not tell you?
The plod stuff, because they pulled you over because I've told you quite often. I mean, are you one of those people who thinks that you do one flick and if you put them on full, that's your full beams?
Well, I know that now.
So you were driving at night without your lights on?
It was dusk.
How long ago?
6 months.
And when they pulled you over to say that you had your lights on, did they ask you why you were sitting so close to the steering wheel, right up with your nose pressed up against the windscreen? Maybe. Did they say, you can relax a bit, madam, and sit back? It's somewhat
safer. No, he actually looked quite scared. He was about 23. And his voice was a bit wobbly talking to me.
You've really got your side lights on.
Yeah, he's also told me that he said that I did a dangerous manoeuvre at the Kentish Town.
What was your dangerous manoeuvre?
Crossroads.
Turning left is a dangerous manoeuvre. We need to, we go that way. You go, I can't, the junction, there's people waiting. And you just carry on in a straight line. You drive literally down the clearest, easiest route, regardless of where it is that you want to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also panic. I'm not a very good driver. I'm a sort of panicky driver. And I turned in front of a police car. I thought it was fine. It was on a yellow box. I kind of turned in front of him. It was confusing. And he was like, it was a dangerous manoeuvre.
Your really noisy gear change with a sort of funny smell?
Possibly.
Because that can
But
alert
he's. Them. But I don't think I said this, but I was thinking, obviously, I didn't know it was the wrong thing to do because I did it in front of a police car. Like, I'm not that stupid. Anyway, they let me off.
Oh, well, then that's all right then. On the road to kill again.
I've really hated the police ever since. I've really been like, okay, I've always been fine with the police. Like, who cares? Whatever, it's just the police. They're just, just a job. And now I understand why people hate the police.
Really? You think that's what it is?
What?
You think that's why they hate the police? It's not because they stop and search black people disproportionately.
What I'm saying to you is that. I mean,
that was your first run-in with the law at the age of 41. I mean, that is very sweet. And it was for not having quite lights on. And I love the fact that you now hate the police, because it means the police now, and indeed our listeners, have a sense of what I have to deal with. And which is, of course, broadly a wonderful wife who I'm very grateful to have, and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the fact that the policeman pulled you over because you're driving without your lights on at night, and he thought, I should tell this little old lady that she needs to put her lights on. And now you hate him. It's like when I sort of say, well, you could go into fourth gear as you're doing 100. You know, no, but you don't like changing gear because I'll only have to change down again. So I'll stay in third. And then when I slow down, I'll still be in the right gear. Because it's stressful to change. Admit it. Admit you find it stressful to change gear and drive in too low a gear.
I find it stressful to change into...
Admit that you don't turn right because it's the shortest route because you don't want to... Sorry.
Let me speak. I find it stressful to change into fifth gear in the Defender, okay?
Right.
I don't have a problem with changing gear at all in the Aygo.
I've seen you in the Aygo not change gear. When I'm not dealing with whiplash and being slammed back in my seat.
Driving advice coming from you where you literally will drive on the pavement... to get around. Okay, so my new BBC.
Yeah, it's brilliant. One idea. So pretty. Do I do a whole schedule pretty, or do I do
different people with their different thing? I think you can be really, really flexible. And you say we don't watch scheduled TV, so you don't know what's on the BBC. It doesn't really matter. Just get old, just like famous old BBC shows that aren't necessarily still on. Just use those. Changing Rooms, that's back on. Yeah. Wait, is that BBC? I think it is. Anyway. Changing Rooms.
Okay, good
or
idea.
Any or the, you know, the news, or it can be pretty.
Pretty hasn't got enough.
No, but wait. It could be okay. So it could be people's applications for a new new style BBC. Priti Patel's submission, Boris Johnson's submission, Prince William's submission. Yeah, like.
Oh yeah, that'd be really good.
Carrie's submission, just Changing Rooms.
Carrie's one,
and then who else is in the news at the moment? Then you could do their kind of BBC from there.
I guess
Lukashenko's BBC.
Lukashenko's also Lukashenko. Wish you were here. Unlucky, you're in.
Yeah, you're
flew
in Minsk
over.
Now.
You flew over Belarus, so that's where you are.
Yeah, you're in a detention center in Belarus for 2 months.
Minsk.
Bad luck.
Is there a good? Minsk is a funny word. Is there a show with?
Minsk, innit?
Also, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. It's just they're all in Belarus.
Yeah.
That's quite funny.
Yeah, it is
all,
funny. Dominic Cummings' BBC.
Yeah.
Wish You Were Here in Barnard Castle.
Cummings' BBC.
Although you told me never to say Barnard Castle again.
Because it's not funny anymore. Not funny the joke's anymore. Over. It's all going to be brought up again today. The Belarus gag is quite funny.
Who else?
All right, fine.
I just need to go for a wee. I'll be back in a second.
Really?
Yep.
Should we put in a sound effect? A wee sound effect? There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How was that?
My wee was fine, thank you.
Good, I've just turned the page to Alexander Lukashenko. And I'm minded that you should probably share your dad's hat theory with the world.
Oh, yes, my dad. Yeah, my dad's
Lukashenko
hat
has this hat that looks like a kind of Action Man Brigadier special. But it's a sort of just... It's
pretty insane,
it's just
isn't it?
Huge. It's just a normal hat, but he's a dictator, so he has a hat 15 times bigger than the normal hat.
Very big cap. So my dad, who is an historian, he was an academic for a long time. That part of Eastern Europe, yeah. I'm pretty sure he was a spy, but unfortunately I had a conversation with the outgoing head of MI6 or was it MI5? I can't remember which one it was. And I said, look, I'm really sure my dad was a spy during the Cold War. How can I track down evidence of this or records? Because he, not only will he not fess up to this, he gets up and leaves the room whenever you start talking about it. And he said, unfortunately, all MI6 records are destroyed. They're not kept, so you can't, not even in some vault.
How strange that they don't keep the records.
They keep
them. MI6 is the James Bond one. I don't know what you mean.
MI6 is foreign, MI5 is domestic. And domestic records they keep, foreign records they destroy. Right. Anyway,
so your dad is a historian.
My dad, who does kind of vaguely know about this, has a theory that the more extravagant the hat, the more useless the army. His case in point being, like, the Greek army hats are completely, like, an entire cockerel on top and just, like, massive curly slippers.
And the French had those sort of high ones as well.
Yeah, the French are there, they're all right, you know. And then SAS don't wear hats. The Israeli army, famously, they basically don't have hats either. They just wear
wear speedos and carry on.
They wear speedos and have very, very, very tiny green hats, if they bother to wear hats at all. So that's his kind of hat theory. And Lukashenko's got a pretty big hat.
It's a pretty big, stupid hat. I mean, the German Imperial Army in 1418 had the massive spike with the thing on, and they were pretty fucking mean. Oh, you wouldn't have wanted to. I mean, or maybe they were rubbish because they lost the war, and the British, the British Tommies just had the little dad's army hat.
Little tin hats, yeah. What spiky helmets are you talking about? Are this the cavalry hats?
What is it about? No, I haven't done a very good drawing. I can't draw a hat. But what is it about? That's basically what it looked like.
Do you mean in the First World War?
Yeah, First World War. Pointed Maltese cross hat, famous hat, archetypal army hat.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. They just make you a bit more visible in the trenches, surely. Or is it really, like, likely to be struck by lightning as well? What's your really good idea?
My really good idea is, are you aware, I wasn't sure what it was and I just looked before we sat down, but about a couple of days ago, the thing about Boris's Shakespeare book.
I got it on my list.
Oh.
Boris is writing a biography of Shakespeare. What will that sound like? All the plays written in Johnson speak.
Bingo, yeah. So the story is, I think it's an allegation that Cummings is going to make that Boris was distracted from COVID because he was writing his book, and it's just
and
quite
the nation thinks is, oh my god, I need that book.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is. It's just like Boris. It's the idea that Boris thinks he's the man to write about Shakespeare.
Also, can I just say, what is it about men of a certain age writing biographies of people who have had their biographies done quite a few times? What do you? And also, you know, there's men of a certain demographic and of a certain age just writing biographies of Hitler. And
at the moment, there's a lot of, you're thinking possibly of Jonathan Dimbleby writing his book about
the
Barbarossa campaign.
He was the thing that
a lovely fellow. And there is a thing. Andrew Marr, it will always be, I mean, it will rolled out. There is a thing when, and Boris, I guess, is one of them, these big celebrities. There is a thing about people of a certain age, they write their Shakespeare book and their Hitler book and their Second World War book. And it's because people buy them, probably. And it's because there is a certain kind of middle-aged white man. I'd say middle-aged white man. They could be black, but I think they're probably not. There's a certain kind of sort of crusty, clubbable middle-aged white man who basically only reads political. I only read Bob. We don't read Bob.
But they
waste my time with fiction.
Think and the world needs their new.
They
book
just
on.
Want to. Oh, Boris has done a book about Shakespeare, and they go and read the book about Shakespeare or about the Second World War, and that's the only thing they want to write about. And the publishing houses know they can shift a certain number of copies.
I guess so.
And that is a shame when people are trying to do young, exciting history books, you know, and or decolonize the curriculum and all that.
I just wonder what on earth they think they've got to say that's new.
Well, what, Boris in his Shakespeare book?
Yeah.
Well, basically, I've been thinking about. So Boris's Shakespeare book, which was scheduled for 2022, and they say that he's been missing these COVID meetings to get there. It's basically him. Boris would go, Shakespeare was born in 1572, 1403, 1505-ish. We're concerned with data, not dates. So we use that. So we're concerned with data, not dates. We get that wrong. Can we do a Boris? Can you give me a Boris voice?
It's mostly that.
He had William Shakespeare was born in Stratford. He had two children, or 14 children, 16. Nobody really knows how many. It's just a bit.
The actual number is totally irrelevant. It's an inverted pyramid of piffle.
It's an inverted pyramid of piffle. It's the actual number. The point is, he was an excellent father. Yeah. And he had the other things that would be Shakespeare famously had little Latin and less Greek, which is there, which is obviously why he couldn't become prime minister or anything important, which he would need to have. Othello and Iago was obviously we'd have to do an Othello Iago as Cummings and Boris because
yes,
Cummings basically is Iago
exactly, and you could start off. What would be funny is if you start off talking about Iago. And then he slips into saying, and Iago obviously completely wrong with his stupid bald head and his ridiculous coffee.
Yes, Iago driving to Barnard Castle. Yeah. Preposterous.
Exactly. With his absurd obsession and his silly little blog.
Iago stitches up in his blog. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it would end up being, it would be like, as the greatest writer in the history of the English language, I'm just the man to write about Shakespeare. that thing that he thinks he's entitled to do that, and then Shakespeare, with the whole thing, would be an apology for Boris's life through Shakespeare. So, for example, you know, I would work in a way that he has Christopher Marlowe beaten to death in a bar by making a phone call to his friend Darius Guppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and ridiculous to suggest that I phoned it was Mr. Guppy. Kid Marlowe would have been beaten to death anyway. And suggestions that I think so it was, it, and then it's like so. Then he goes to London, and it was at this point that Shakespeare left his boring fat wife and all her stupid children and shacked up with a lovely girl, for whom he unquestionably did up the bedroom with Michelangelo did the wallpaper.
With his second best bed.
Except the second best bed.
Anne Hathaway got his second best bed.
Which, as we all know, is actually not that bad a thing. So
no,
everyone
it's
goes,
a good thing. What do you mean?
Everyone goes, it's so shit, his wife only got his second best bed.
Anyone with half an ounce of intelligence knows that beds were...
Well, it's not so much that the beds were a form of currency, as Boris will explain in chapter 2.
Much better than the euro.
3 guineas to a bed. And
yeah.
No, it's because people didn't own things. So people now go, what? I only have to bet. What about the telly? There's not. People didn't really own anything. Yeah, you would literally own two beds and a chair. That's it. And
you don't have to tell me, mate.
You still only own two beds and a chair.
I don't. I own nothing.
So
except a Toyota Aygo, that's definitely mine. I love that.
I think,
and also easy for you because you know the plays quite well.
Well, if I do, whether I come to the bit, I think he will do the bit when he writes about Shakespeare's haircut had a ridiculous flyaway stupid haircut because his mind was on higher things. He didn't need a proper haircut. He doesn't believe that Shakespeare is famously supposed to have gone to the local grammar school in Stratford upon Avon. But it was actually a cool restaurant around the corner called Eton.
Yeah. Boris went to the local grammar school in Slough, Eton.
Yes, exactly. And he went to Oxford where he was in the Bloomington Club. Bulla, bulla, bulla. and did all that and was and I think obviously during the as we all know Shakespeare in Adventures in the Plague and Plague on Both Your Houses and all that, it's true that he left London to escape the plague. When the plague came, Shakespeare offered some very clear advice to his family and friends. He said, "You must don't go to work, go to work. Don't go in a cart. But three in a not within mustn't come within a groat of each other in 7 leagues. And it's a terrible thing. It's killing lots of people. It's not killing anybody. And then
only if you're over 80.
Not only that, but he also got jobs for all his friends. He got them deals with plague carts. You know where they carried them away. So
right.
It's things like and the Elizabethan equivalent. So it was all Shakespeare's friends were obviously. So he's and also the other thing Shakespeare was Shakespeare was obviously widely accused of profiteering instead of working on his plays like Ben Jonson manner of poet. He would often writing 3 or 4 plays at the same time. Not, attention to detail wasn't Shakespeare's thing. It isn't the thing of any great man. And he was paid to the equivalent of £40 million for King Lear, pin money. That's what he said about pin money.
Who said what about who called what pin money?
When they said you make £250,000 a year for your column in the Telegraph, and he said pin money.
Yeah,
I think
well,
that was the phrase he used. I think his identification that Falstaff, the hero of Henry IV. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I think having Michelangelo do the wallpaper for the flat.
Yeah.
Is quite important.
Is he a contemporary?
No, but not far off. I mean, Michelangelo is sort of early. He's about 100 years out, but Boris doesn't know that.
Okay,
he sort of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's lots and lots and lots there. If you are in that kind of thing, if you are in the mood to do that tomorrow, that's very, very. It's a gimme, isn't it?
You're saying I'm not in the mood to do it.
No, I'm saying that you seem very much like you're in the mood to do that. It feels like you've written it already.
I had that idea yesterday, and then on my way to play cards, which I walked to, I did a thing where I do voice memos of things. Unfortunately, what I do is I talk texts. I open up, because that's the only thing I know how to do. I open up an email, and then I talk, and it does predictive, slightly weird things. So I've written young William Archibald Alexander Fisk Fuckface Shakespeare. Boris, as he was known to his friends, actually didn't go to local grammar school. I got it was near to eat it, wasn't it? Went to a local school, although reports suggest he actually went to Eton, where he led the Bullington Club and went to Oxford.
Mm-hmm. Things lost in translation are always
deciphering fun. It becomes quite difficult. Okay, yeah. Go on, next idea.
Okay, next idea, which is that there's a report recently from Newcastle University. They discovered some people have a supersensitive part of their brain, which leads to misophonia, which means they are incredibly over irritated by certain noise, driven even to violence by noises such as chewing and coughing.
Do you think that's why I've written loud chewing on my list?
Loud chewing, yeah.
Yes, I wondered how we could...
I wondered if you might do a list of the most annoying noises.
That's just I just get excited when I'm underslept like I am now and looking at how the week's panning out about the idea of just a list. When you said the word, in the Jerry Maguire thing, you have me at list. A list of noises. Wasn't there a column I nearly did a couple of weeks ago that was going to be a list of noises?
Yes, it was a list of noises we don't hear anymore. It was the podcast we did with your sister.
Did I ever write it?
No, because it was too vague. It was a list of noises that you don't hear anymore. And then your sister went...
This is a list of noises that are annoying. That is quite good. Because I probably have it.
Without question, you
or
have it.
Is your throat clearing just so objectively irritating that anyone would be?
Yeah. My throat clearing is really annoying.
But does it any annoying apart from me?
Well, nobody hears it as much as you do. So,
like a young boy who met you and wanted to be your boyfriend. Probably wouldn't even notice. If you met some guy and you were having an affair,
right,
and like just going out and having fun and shagging and stuff, he probably wouldn't notice that you were coughing. But if you've been locked up with him for 2 years in the house during a pandemic and thing, and then it becomes annoying, is that?
You make a series of disgusting and irritating noises as well, but I don't find them that annoying.
Not with my mouth.
With all parts of
your
body.
You mean the burps?
No, I mean the burps, I mean your throat clearing, I mean all sorts of revolting noises that you make. But I don't find them that annoying because I don't think I have this thing.
So you would write a column going, so what's it called, misophonia?
I'm not quite
You have
sure
a thing in your brain it. Which, for comedy's sake, I would refuse to accept I had.
Okay.
And say, this is ridiculous, these noises are that noise when.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you have it really badly, actually, now I come to think of it. So if we're in the car and something's even going...
You mean when you leave a set of keys in the cup holder and it just goes clank, clank,
yeah,
clank all the way
Yeah, it drives you nuts. It's absolutely really weird.
Quite, because it's would anybody.
No, it doesn't drive me nuts.
Or when you put the clever yellow, you know, our special steering wheel anti-theft lock, and you put it in the boot ahead of that drive to Oxford, and it just went clunk, clunk. Yeah. Every time it went clunk, and you turn around, it would go clank. You didn't secure it so that it didn't clank.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. That wouldn't bother really bother me.
And you're not bothered by the angle grinders and the...
Nope. I just tune it out.
The sound of a scaffold gun.
Yeah.
The rivet gun.
Don't care. Drrr. When they were doing the thing next door that was... Actually, like, basically in our house, that was quite difficult to ignore. But yes, small noises, I don't really find that annoying. And you really, really, really do.
I remember when I broke up with a girlfriend who I lived with for years and years and years, and one of the things I was very sad about afterwards, that she used to cough a lot, and she used to do little coughs, and I just used to have a go at her about it, and then when she left me, mm-hmm. because for all sorts of other reasons, I remember just, like, crying, because I thought, why didn't I just let her cough? Why haven't you coughed or cleared your throat today? You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.